Ladies and gentlemen, good morning or good afternoon. Welcome to the LM Group Investor Conference Call. I am Moira, the Chorus Call operator. The conference must not be recorded for publication or broadcast. At this time, it's my pleasure to hand over to Mr. Nicolò Bossi, Head of Investor Relations. Please go ahead.
Okay, thank you. Good morning and welcome, everyone. Thanks for joining our first half 2018 Investors and Analysts Conference Call. The focus today is on giving the sense of how our business is progressively shifting toward a comprehensive holiday-focused proposition from a pure transactional flight and hotel-only model, according to the strategic direction that the company took at the time of the IPO and consolidated after the acquisition of lastminute.com in 2015. We will conclude with a Q&A session open to all people connected. I'm here today with Sergio Signoretti, our CFO.
Good morning.
Before starting, as a general statement, as always, I remind you to take a look at the disclaimer on page 2 and on the importance of being cautious in the evaluation of forward-looking statements included in this document. Okay, we can start, and we can now move on page 4. Let me show you again how we are organizing the logics behind our reporting framework. In this interim report and in this presentation, you will find a comprehensive description of our core business performance, along with a bridge to our consolidated financial statements. This framework that was for the first time used in the full year 2017 annual report has been structured to let our audience better understand the matrix of our core business and get the right feeling on how the business is going. You know, the group is organized around two main business areas and holding and providing corporate services. The company, the holding company, lastminute.com and VE, is a Dutch holding listed on SIX stock exchange, does not generate revenue and sustains a certain amount of corporate cost. Then we have the core part of our business, the lastminute.com core business, that consists of a number of fully consolidated operating entities managed together as a unique company. This area produces recurring revenues and costs that relate to OTA, meta search, and media business. Then we have what we call LM Venture, which refers primarily to majority or minority investments in startups or small businesses. They are managed on standalone basis and independently from the lastminute.com core business. This area represents one of the channels we used to explore new potential fields of growth and to foster innovation. It's not a news, but just to remind that to reflect such a group structure, Mr. Fabio Cannavale was appointed LM Group CEO and Marco Corradino, lastminute.com CEO. Now we can move on slide 5, where we have shown our story split in three phases. The first is a pure growth phase from a startup to a listed company. The second, what we have called re-engineering phase from the IPO until the end of 2017. And then the phase we are living now that we define the value maximization phase. Looking at the so-called re-engineering phase, I insist on the fact that consistent with our statement since the IPO, we have always and firmly believed and declared that a diversified business model and a focus on delivering a wide variety of travel-related products and services bundled in real time were the keys to generate sustainable value in the long run. We have always been conscious about the complexity that such a strategic view would have brought to the table and the investments required in terms of money and time to develop an efficient model in that respect. Over the last 3 years, we have completely reshaped the way we run our core business. Beside a full reorganization of functions and departments some changes at management level and sourcing of many talents, and also the integration of a number of companies that we acquired during in such a period of time. Year after year, from a pure business perspective, we primarily focused on optimizing our engine for dynamic packages. This is a key, in our opinion, to understand the today company performance and the future trend of our business. We essentially decided to focus on the holiday segment, that now, if we count dynamic packages and tour operator packages together, represent around 45% of our OTA revenues. And this trend is clearly that such a portion will grow farther and quickly in the next years. As a result of that, let me say, from 2018, we are entering in the so-called phase of value maximization, where we will be able to capitalize our investments and unlock the full potential of our proposition. Since we are now in the condition to demonstrate the potential of such comprehensive business model, that, in our opinion, features unique and distinctive success key factor. Now I think we can go through a more detailed view with Sergio for the core section of this presentation, so the result of the first half. So please, Sergio, go ahead.
Thank you, Nicolò. Good morning, all. So if you look at slide 7, I think that the message of this slide is very consistent with the fact that I think we are already in the value maximization phase. I mean, the message of this slide is growth. We are growing a lot in, I would say, any business KPI. The performance of the first half in terms of what we define business EBITDA, which is consistent with the perimeter that Nicolò was showing in the previous slides, so in consistent with the lastminute.com perimeter, is growing 40% year on year, passing from 12 million euro to 17 million euro. And this is driven from the tremendous growth that we are experiencing in the holiday packages business, so in the dynamic packages and on the tour operator packages as well. The tour operator growth is, of course, also influenced by the additional revenues and EBITDA, which is generated by VEGD, the acquisition that we have completed at the end of 2017 in Germany. This is impacting, of course, the growth in process volumes. You see there is a growth of approximately 17% in the growth travel value and on the growth of revenues as well. Then, of course, we focus a lot on efficiency generation as well. So the EBITDA generation is also driven by a higher efficiency in the marketing spend and on the control of the operating expenses cost base, which has been kept substantially in line with the figures at 2017. If we focus on the revenues of the OTA and on the MetaSearch, which you find on the left bottom side of the page, you see that the OTA overall revenues are growing 12% versus last year. And the growth, again, is driven from dynamic packages and tour operator, but also from the ancillaries. Ancillaries this year will represent more than 10% of the overall group revenues. So it's a new revenue stream which we are pushing a lot in order to diversify and to offer always new services to our customer base. The holiday packages revenues, as you see on the right-hand side of the slide, is growing more than 60% versus last year, which is a tremendous result in our opinion. On the OTA, and if we examine flight and hotel on a standalone basis only, you will see in a couple of slides ahead that we have done some analysis also related to the growth of hotel and flights, including them in dynamic packages category, we have a slight decline if we consider them on a standalone basis only, which has been anyway compensated by the efficiency generation on both customer care areas and on all the cost line items that we are managing. Growth is also the right word for Meta Search. You know, the Meta division is an important division for us. It's generated significant revenue, significant EBITDA. It's growing almost 20% year on year in terms of revenues. So also here we are experiencing, I would say, a solid growth. So I would say in terms of key financial indicators, more important KPIs, we are very satisfied in terms of business results. And this is also confirmed by the following page, which is page 8. I would not comment, of course, GTV, but let's comment maybe on only the booking. Bookings are slightly lower versus last year, and this is impacted by two things. One is the progressive shift towards dynamic packages and towards a tour operator. This is, of course, impacting the growth of the average ticket value. On the flights segment, we are more and more focusing on the profitable flights. So this is a strategy that the company has. So it's a more sophisticated, combined with a more sophisticated pricing strategy, we are more and more focusing on offering flights that are generating incremental margin on a unitary basis. And this is impacting slightly the total number of transactions that we have on the flight segment. I think I already commented the revenues trend on the marketing cost. The fact that we have spent 61 million euro is a demonstration of the fact that we are continuing to push on the marketing performance, on the marketing non-performance, in order to, you know, promote more and more our brands. So this is a continuous strategy of pushing in order to generate the additional revenues. And I think the results is there. The results is there because, the trend of increase of revenues and of corresponding EBITDA is there. The other cost trend is impacted for the most part from the cost coming from the acquisition of the German new entity. So overall, the cost base that we are managing is in line versus last year. As a result, business EBITDA is growing 40%, so from 12.3 to 17.2, which is the results that we are showing in this interim report. If we go to page 9 shows what we internally define the cascade, so how the business EBITDA transforms into reported EBITDA, so adjusted and IFRS, and into net income. Here we have to note a couple of comments I would do. One comment is regarding the corporate cost. Corporate cost is what Nicolò before was referring to as those costs that are not inherent and referring to the business, so the costs related to the holding activity. These costs are in line versus last year, so no issue here. It's 3.2 million in the first 6 months. Destination Italia is one area of attention for us. Destination Italia is a venture where we have the majority. Is a company that has been set up a couple of years ago together with Banca Intesa in order to promote the inbound traffic flows in Italy. Here the operating, of course, is still in a startup phase. The operating loss in the first 6 months has been 2.5 million euro. Here there is a plan, a recovery plan that has been prepared by the management, approved by the board, and that needs to be implemented for the second half of the year, where we expect a substantial reduction of the, monthly absorption in terms of negative EBITDA and cash by this entity, which is, of course, an area of attention for us as well, in order to avoid absorption of the incremental business EBITDA that we are generating on our core business. There are no particular comments, I would say, on the other line item. In the extraordinary items, we classify basically the restructuring costs that we have sustained for the acquisition of WEG-DE, which have been entirely expensed in the first quarter of this year in order to generate the maximum efficiency in terms of incremental EBITDA generation. For this year. So in other words, we have done some restructuring at HR level in order to avoid the duplication of structure, and we have done it in January in order to have to maximize what is the HR cost saving in 2018. As a result, we are closing at 200K of positive net result, which, by the way, is slightly better than last year. And this is, I would say, the comment on page 9. If we go to page 10, on page 10 we show what is the outlook in terms of cash. As you know, the first semester is a semester of very strong and solid seasonality. So the figure of cash that we show at the end of July is impacted by the high season. So we close with more than 87 million euro of cash. If we compare this figure with last year was approximately 80. So there is 7 million more cash generation on a year-on-year basis, which is driven by the incremental EBITDA versus last year and by the positive effect on net working capital of the growth of the dynamic packages and tour operator business, particularly on the dynamic packages, which has a, let me say, more positive cycle in terms of positive working capital generation. Another thing that I would like to point out is the fact that, as you know, we have settled in May the partial self-tender offer operation. There is a chart dedicated to that that Nicolò will show in a few minutes. And that has impacted with approximately 30 million euro of cash out. This cash out has been entirely covered by additional financings. So in the financing bar that you see on regarding the chart where you see 19.7, the 19.7 include 30 million euro of financings which we have obtained by the market in order to fund entirely the partial tender offer operations. So of course, this is impacting the net financial position. So if we translate the cash into net financial position at the end of June, we need to take into account what is the level of the financial liabilities. The financial liabilities for 30 million euro is related to the financing of the partial self-tender offer. For approximately 6 million euro is related to the portion of price for the acquisition of the German entity that we need to pay in, that we still need to pay contractually, and is an outstanding financial liability. This is basically the outlook in terms of cash. Let me go to the following chart. The following chart is a focus on, I would say, on the dynamic packages business. And it has, I would say, the objective of showing you how the flight and the hotel businesses that on a standalone basis are, as I was saying before, are substantially flat year on year. If you consider the portion of flight and hotel which is included into the packages, so it's considered into the dynamic packages process volumes, both these two segments show a tremendous growth. So the flight portion is the blue one, which is shown on the left. Actually, the flight portion is related to the only non-meta process volumes. So it's more focused on what is the traffic generated by direct channels and, I would say, in general from non-meta channel, which is more attractive for us, both in terms of marginality and in terms of value, because these are customers which are interested to our offer because they know our brand. And the hotel portion is the one which is shown on the right piece. So if we consider the more red bar, let me say, of the hotel hotel piece, you see that from 2016 to 2018, the portion of the hotel process volumes, which is included into the dynamic package, has more than doubled. So it's a 118% above. That means that the cross-selling strategy and the diversification strategy that the company has adopted since the acquisition of lastminute.com is really producing significant results. Because more and more, if we diversify and if we move towards dynamic packages, we have an a margin generation which is approximately up to 10 times higher of the one that we have on the flight segment as of today, on the flight segment considered as on a standalone basis. So this is the reason why we are doing that. And it's very important also to show the trend of the process volumes related to the dynamic package, which is shown on the bottom part of the chart. You see that we are growing of 90% more approximately from 2017 to 2018. And there is another interesting comment that for those of you who were present when we commented the annual report was already probably discussed, which is the fact that more and more other players are interested in our technology in order to sell dynamic packages powered by us. So we have contracts in place with other OTAs in order to open up our platform, which is successful for our brand, in order to let them sell, powered by us, dynamic packages. This is a B2B revenue streams, which is which was not there in the first half of last year, which we started in the last Q of 2017, and which is giving good results. So this is also a demonstration of the fact that the platform is working well, is working properly. Now, let me go to the following chart, which is chart 12, which shows the figures of at a geographical level. So also here, we are growing everywhere. We are growing in every country. You see the relative weight of the various countries in terms of gross travel value and revenues here. And what I would stress is the fact that Germany is growing very significantly. This is, of course, driven also by the acquisition of Bag.da, which was not there in 2017, both in terms of gross travel value and in terms of revenues. And this has a tremendous potential because Germany is underweighted in terms of online penetration. And so also in terms of future growth and future possibility of cross-selling to VEGDE customers, which today are more interested to tour operator packages, our core dynamic packages offer is something that is we consider as a very big and significant significant potential. So we are, if we consider the tour operator packages gross travel value, which includes, of course, the M&A piece, we are talking about almost a triplication of the value of the process volumes versus 2017. So also on a geographical basis, I would say that we are very satisfied of about how the business is going. One last comment on the meta search on page 13, where here I would say that growth is continuing. Growth is continuing. We are 20% above last year in terms of overall revenues. These revenues include those produced by HotelScan, which is a small company that we have acquired in the second semester of last year, which is a meta search focused on the hotel. Here, the company is a bit lagging behind in terms of EBITDA generation. So it's slightly less producing positive results as we were expecting, but we will recover that. But in terms of, I would say, overall revenue generation, still here we see a growth which is absolutely satisfying. And I think this is all related to the business comments and financial comments about the first half. I leave it to Nicolò again on the other topics.
Yes, thanks, Sergio. I think it was very clear. Let me say that moving to the partial suspended offer, which is one of the most relevant transactions on our capital since the IPO, or the most relevant transaction since the IPO time. The partial self-tender offer was launched on April, you know, and closed on May 2018, and was a way we demonstrated ourselves the commitment we still have in the company and in its vision. It was a significant investment of resources. We are talking about around 30 million investment. That gives, on the other hand, the opportunity to investors willing to partially divest their stakes to benefit from a liquidity event at a fairly premium price. I remind you that the partial self-tender offer was settled at 16 Swiss franc per share. I think then the partial self-tender offer was a transaction that satisfied both minority and main shareholders, and that consolidated the ownership structure around the long-term oriented investors. I think it's very important to highlight at least other two facts. One is the fact that the repurchased shares will be cancelled, as we described in the offer prospectus. And as a result of this cancellation, the total number of outstanding shares will be reduced by around 20%. We remind you that 765,000 of shares were already cancelled in January 2018, while the 2.2 million that we repurchased under the PSTO will be definitely cancelled on 25th of September this year. The second point is that even considering the consolidation of the shareholding structure and the reduction of the number of shares, the free float will still stand around 45% of the total number of shares, which is not bad, I would say. If we move on the last slide, which is, in my opinion, really self-explaining, it is a sum up of what Sergio explained before. In essence, we already answered that question, giving you the sense of the move toward the world of holiday packages. I think there are only a few points more to be underlined. On the dynamic packages, I think that we can say today we feature a competitive advantage against our competitors. This is a fact, in our opinion, supported by the performance reported in the last 3 years and in this first semester, primarily. On the other fact, we have an excellent response that we received from both customers and suppliers, because on one end, the travelers can definitely save money, and suppliers see this kind of proposition as an efficient distribution channel that does not cannibalize their typical proposition. Furthermore, as Sergio already explained very well, other OTAs are asking lastminute.com to provide them with our DP solution through a sort of revenue sharing model, thus implying, in our view, that they are a bit behind us in the development of such kind of solution. On the other side, we have the standalone product, such as flight and hotel only. Here, we will continue to invest, of course, but with a slight different angle. You can't build dynamic packages without having an efficient flight and hotel platform, so it's important to have this technology behind. And also, you can't sell a dynamic package at a convenient price if you do not invest in closing partnership with airlines and hotel chains. As a result, we must sustain both technology improvements and commercial activities. On the other hand, since we are experiencing a clear shift from such a proposition to bundled product, we should be more focused on trying to get the most out in terms of efficiency here on standalone product. So the focus will be not on revenue growth, but on creating efficiency and to be more sophisticated in pricing strategy, and also saving some cost on the P&L side. One of the triggers that may help doing good here in the standalone product is improving our ancillary services proposition, as Sergio already mentioned before. In that respect, we are optimizing the way we up and cross-sell products during the booking flow and the respective pricing of each single service. Thanks to this, we are progressively offsetting the decrease of pure margin commissions applied to flight and hotel when they are sold standalone. Or to say that ancillaries are experiencing a strong performance since it is 2 years in a row that revenues from this category are increasing by high double digit. And so I think that, as I said before, the slide was really self-explaining and the points was already touched by Sergio, and this was just a sum up of what I already said. Just a few words, let me say at the end about the guidance that we released on the market this morning. We set the bar at above 280 million in terms of revenues and in a range of 32, 34 million for business EBITDA. Let me conclude that we are more than confident to reach these targets. We have in front of us the summer season. July is already closed. August is ongoing. The performance that we are seeing on the current trainings are good. So, as said, we are more than confident to achieve this target. And let's see if at the end of the third quarter we can also have some news about it. Now I think we have closed. Thanks, Sergio. We may go to the Q&A session. So please, if you have some questions.
The first question is from Nicolò Pessina from Mediobanca. Please go ahead.
Yes, good morning all. I would have a few questions. So the first one is on the EBITDA guidance for the full year. Can you help us to translate the guidance on the EBITDA from operations to the adjusted EBITDA? Or put it differently, you reported 6.9 million euros of overhead costs. How should we look at them in the second half of the year? Second question is on the destination Italia costs. You reminded that this is about the partnership with Intesa San Paolo. Can you remind us of the business proposition behind this project and how we should look at costs on this front going ahead? Third question on Comvel, if you can give us an idea of the impact on revenues and EBITDA in the first half of 2018. And final question on the public self-tender offer just concluded. One of the stated objectives was to have a shareholder base sharing a long-term view and giving the opportunity to those more focused on short-term targets to exit the shareholder base. So now everyone has remained within the shareholder base because acceptance of a share tender was pro rata. Do you plan to take any initiative to give those shareholders with a short-term focus to exit? Would you expect overhang risk on the stock, or how do you plan to deal with them going forward? Many thanks.
Okay, thanks, Nicole, for this several set of questions. Let me start from the guidance. We decided consciously to set a guidance on business EBITDA and revenue because our internal targets are set on business EBITDA, in the sense that, and this is also the result of the decision taken last year to give the market this kind of report, a reporting framework, in the sense that we try to isolate the core business from the other business. Let me say that you can expect to see the same impact of the last year in terms of corporate cost, okay? And in terms of the other main point that we have, the main items that we have between business EBITDA and adjusted EBITDA, as Sergio already said before, we are trying to recover the performance of Destination Italia, and with this, I'm trying to also answer your second question. We are trying to recover the performance of Destination Italia, which is impacting a lot in this first semester. We have a management plan supported by a strategic advisor that is working with the management in order to support the assumptions behind the plan. We have a partner, Banca Intesa, which is supporting the plan as well. We don't have in mind or on the table significant actions to put in place in terms of extraordinary actions with Destination Italia. We are mostly focused on improving the performance. I remind you, this was part of your second question, that the objective of Destination Italia is to become the main incoming tour operator for Italy. It's a pure business-to-business model. It's not B2C, it's B2B. And so this is the reason why it is managed separately from lastminute.com core business. We, thanks to the acquisition of Gartour within Destination Italia, we became already the first incoming tour operator in Italy. Now the focus is on making the machine efficient because it was a machine that was not efficient when we bought them. Your third question about Combel was on the impact on revenue and EBITDA on the first semester. I would say that Combel was, when was acquired at the end of the last year, was a loss-making company. We have been able in 1 month to restructure the company and in 2-3 months to make Combel profitable again. And so the impact in terms of revenue is around 10 million. And impact on EBITDA is positive and is not negative. This is the first objective that we had. And so you can take this as the response that we are able to give to the market. In terms of the PSTO, the partial substandard offer, we have not in mind, honestly, to move on with other initiatives in that respect. We know that all of the shareholders that tendered the shares saw their shares partially going back because we experienced an overhang. But the overhang was, in my opinion, not real, driven by the real interest of all these shareholders to sell all their shares. Was most driven by the feeling that in the last 2 days of the offer, we would have gone to an overhang. And so most of the shareholders put all of their shares into the offer in order to receive, to get the result that they wanted before. And so we expect that this shareholder structure now is balanced. Shareholders that were willing to sell other shares after the PSTO did it, in the sense that, as you noticed, the share price of lastminute.com decreased after the PSTO by 20%, at least 20%, and this was the result of all shareholders trying to sell again other shares. So I think that from now on we have not a plan to launch another PSTO or do other stuff on the capital structure. We think that from a business perspective, we are going very well, as demonstrated by this first semester results. And so we think that all shareholders can be confident, as well as our management, that the next result, even in the short terms, will be good. And so that they has to be they have to be committed on the strategy, on the business going on.
All clear. Many thanks.
The next question is from Léa Sainz from Kepler Cheuvreux. Please go ahead.
Hi, a couple of questions on my side. The first question is about the paid price from Campbell. I thought that you were previously announced 12 million paid price last year, and I seen in the half year report that you will pay 13.5 million price. So I just have wanted to have some info on that. Also, could you please give us some colors about the decrease in the huge decrease in flight revenue? You are mentioning that it is due to the shift from flight to dynamic packages, but if you just can give some details on that. Thank you.
Okay, so this is Sergio speaking. So regarding the acquisition of Campbell, that is correct. So the purchase price was 12 million. Out of those 12 million, we paid 6 million at the closing, and 6 million remains to be paid contractually in 2019. So I confirm that was the deal. I don't know. You want to comment regarding
in terms of flight? I think that we are experiencing a clear trend. One is the shift from the standalone product to the DP, and this is well, I think, represented by the graph that Sergio commented before. The second one is that we have two words behind the name of a flight standalone is flight. Meta and flight no meta. I don't want to enter into much detail, but let me just say that the flight that we sell to travelers, so users that come to us through a direct channel, are stable or even increasing, while the flight that we are selling through our OTA platform for users that are coming from Meta are decreasing. We are experiencing a decrease of traffic, first of all, from Meta channels. And this impact, of course, if you have less traffic, you have less users that are coming to your website from the Meta channel, and you have, even if the conversion is stable in terms of rate, you have less revenue. So this is what I can say. We have direct flight that are experiencing in any case, a good recovery, while on the other end, we are experiencing a decrease. And the result is what we are seeing, that overall, as of today, the flight business is likely decreasing.
Yeah, I would, if I can, Nicolo, I would add one comment, no? Because if it is true that revenues on flight segments standalone are impacted, if we consider the contribution margin of the flight category of the flight business, flight business is in line versus last year. So it's not, so if you consider the contribution margin level, thanks to the operational efficiencies that we are generating, on, I would say, any of the related cost, variable costs associated to the flight machine. So on the acquiring, on the processing, on the customer care, more and more we are pushing on the self-care, app. Features in order to reduce the number of calls, the frequency of call, and so on. So if you translate the decrease, that's why before I was speaking about growth not only related to, let me say, process volumes, but also related to increase and improvement in the way in which we run our operational machine. So in terms of contribution margin, flight is flat versus last year. So that means that we compensate the decrease in the margin commission related to the flight with additional revenue streams, i.e. the ancillaries, and with increased efficiency on various, let me say, items, among which customer care, among which the efficiency of the sales, among which, you know, all the processing and acquiring machine. So I think this is a relevant information for you guys.
Okay, thank you. And just a follow-up question, could you give us some colors about the percentage in the revenue mix of the standalone hotel business, please?
Hotel is standalone, is a small business, in terms of percentage of the hotel standalone business against the overall OTA is around 10%, slightly less than 10%.
Okay, perfect. Thank you.
The next question is from Andrea Scauri from Banca Ifigest. Please go ahead.
Yes, hi, good morning, everyone, and congratulations for the results. I have a couple of questions. The first one on what you mentioned, the potential synergies on dynamic packages. I was wondering where you are in terms of implementation of these synergies. When do you expect to be at full speed, and what could be the higher potential profitability once you have developed these synergies with other operators leveraging on your platform? Second question is on the meta search. Very simple question, are you planning to make a spin-off of this division or disposal of this division if you receive interesting valuation from potential financial institutions interested in this business? And very last question, you gave guidance on the EBITDA just to put to tick the box given the recovery you are expecting at bottom line. Could you provide also guidance at net profit level? Thank you.
Okay, so thank you for the question. So regarding the first, if I well understood the question, so basically the synergies, the cross-sell strategy regarding the dynamic packages is already there, and it's showing already the results, as we said before. There is an important synergy that needs to be exploited, especially in Germany. So where we will, and this will be visible from second half this year and in 2019 mostly. So the synergy regarding the cross-sell effect, utilizing the traffic that we have on the BDA website in order to sell our core products. So that is starting now. So the main area, let me say, of synergy regarding the dynamic package is this. You know, the rest is continuing in the cross-sell strategy, utilizing the flights as a, let me say, quote-unquote marketing machine in order to sell holiday packages and other stuff. Whereas in Germany is starting the fact of cross-selling to the BDA customers our products which were not available before. So that is where you will see, you know, where we see, you know, the biggest area of potential in terms of synergy which are not yet exploited. Then regarding the B2B stream is generating already revenues and margin. We aim to continue this because this is because we see it. We are not afraid about the fact that other OTA offer their services utilizing our brand, our platform. You know, that is an incremental revenue stream for us anyway, and we see it as an incremental opportunity in order to generate incremental EBITDA. Then I leave it to you on the meta, Nicolo.
Yes, thanks.
Come back to your comment. So in Germany, you are at the very beginning of this process. How long does it take, in your view, to see the first real money from this strategy?
No, you will. We started since 1 month. So basically, you will see these results in the second semester already.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, regarding the second question, I would say that we know and we saw recently that the appetite on the market over the online travel players is very high. It is true about both OTA and meta searches, We have seen recent transactions on the market of meta searches purchased by industrial players, OTAs purchased by financial investors. And so we know that this market is under a strong consolidation process. And so we are active in this in this market, in this segment, even considering the possibility to consolidate actively the segment. I think that now we are very focused on making our machine very efficient and on making our business proposition very valuable for all the chain, so customers, suppliers, and other players. As we said, we sell through B2B agreements our proposition to other OTAs. Once we will have finalized this process, I think that we will have a machine that will be very profitable, very strong in terms of brands, very strong in terms of growth, etc., which are all KPIs that are very interesting and sexy for the market. But let me say, we have no on the table major transactions or that we are evaluating right now. What we can say is that this kind of business, this kind of market, is experiencing this strong consolidation process, and every day, every week, every month, something can happen, but we.
The next question is from Daniel Benatoff from Goodson. Please go ahead.
Hi, good morning. First of all, congratulations on the results. Just a couple of questions for me. One, obviously, dynamic packages was the big bet you started making already a while back, but it took a while until we could actually see it become a material part of the business. It looks like it is now. Can we expect you at some point to break out the EBITDA of that division, given that the EBITDA profile and the growth profile of that business is very different from the rest of the division it's being reported as part of? And obviously, because of that reason, generally in the market, it's being valued at much higher multiples. So it would make our job much easier if we like actually put a number on that. So that's part question number one. And question number two is, can we expect at some point to have a new medium-term plan, so a new three-year plan, given that the business has changed very dramatically from the old one? Thank you.
So basically, regarding the question on what is the contribution to the profit of the company regarding the DP and in general the packages division, what I can say is that we can give you, a range information of on the fact that today the packages, the packages world, so the combination of dynamic packages and the tour operator business represents already now between two-thirds, approximately 65% of the contribution margin of the company. So this is, I think, the relevant information that we can give. So we are considerably, shifting our profitability towards that world. Then the second question was related to hello?
Hi. Yeah. The second question related to a medium-term plan, given that we're coming to the end of your previous horizon and the company has changed very dramatically. I was wondering if you were expecting to kind of do a new strategic review and therefore a new medium-term plan anytime soon.
Yes, thanks for the question. We are working internally on a longer range plan, and we have already a plan which internally has been approved in terms of deployment of this business model. We think that sooner or later we will go out with an industrial plan, mid-term industrial plan. We have not planned yet when to do, but I think that in the next months it could be an option to go out with this kind of plan in which we will give you a full picture of what we expect for the next future in terms of evolution of each single business line. This is also to respond to your previous question when you were asking the possibility to have a breakdown by single category in terms of not only of revenue or traffic, but also in terms of profitability. And so I think that in the next months we can expect to have this kind of event in which we will show you what we expect for the future.
Thank you.
The next question is from Alain Bucher from AWP. Please go ahead.
Yes, hello. I wondered if you have any forecast of reaching a break even on a netto result for 2018, as was said in March by your CEO, and if not, when do you expect this break even to be reached? I also wondered how your marketing costs are going to evolve since they have increased in the first semester. Do you expect them to go down for the rest of the year? And I also wondered about your dynamic packages. Their proportion in the OTA business is increasing. Do you have any objective of what part those dynamic packages will be in your OTA activities in the future? Thank you.
Thank you for the questions. Regarding the first question, we have decided to disclose the guidance only on revenue and business EBITDA level, and I can confirm that this is the guidance that we have. What we, of course, we'll expect is that since we are seeing both revenue and EBITDA margin increasing, I think that we'll have a positive impact also on the net result. Second question regarding the marketing spend, yes, is overall increasing, but if you calculate the ratio between marketing spend and revenue, the ratio is decreasing. This does implying the fact that we are more efficient than before. And so marketing spend in any case is the driver of our business and is the driver of growth. And the more we are sophisticated and advanced in our algorithms, in the way we run this kind of business, of course, we can be more efficient in growing and more efficient in profitability. But the result of the first semester to us already shows the fact that we are improving our efficiency. And regarding dynamic packages,
regarding the dynamic package, I think it's valuable what I was commenting before. You know, so the contribution of the non-flight business to the contribution margin of the company is already now in the range of 65%. So in other words, we have 35% of the contribution margin generated from flights and more or less two-thirds of the contribution margin which is generated from the non-flights. Out of these, of course, dynamic packages and TO are the two major pieces. So I would confirm this information, and more will be in the future. So, I mean, in other terms, in second semester last year, the contribution of the non-flight business in terms of percentage to the overall contribution margin was 50%. Now it's two-thirds. Okay, so more and more this demonstrates the growth of the non-flight part.
Oh, hello. Thanks for taking my questions. The first one, I'm sorry if I missed some of the early comments, I had trouble connecting, but the revenue guidance implies sequentially lower revenue growth in H2 versus H1. Is this mainly seasonality, or is there something else in there? My second question is on synergies that you're expecting from Comvel, and can you help us think about the maybe normalized EBITDA that you would see on that business, and if it should be in line with the rest of the group. And finally, on jet cost, the EBITDA was flat year on year despite very good top line trends. So just wondering if there's any comment on what's driving that. Thank you.
Okay, thanks for the question. So on the first one, the guidance on revenues is, let me remind you that we are not talking about 280 million, but above 280 million. Second thing that we have to consider is that historically, the first semester in terms of revenue is slightly higher than the second one. And so we didn't want to be necessarily conservative, but let me say that above 280 million could be also translated in 290, 285. It depends. Of course, we have July and August that are two of the most important months. And so we're going to have to make sure that all is going well on our side. I shift to the third question before talking about Comvel, about jet cost. Jet cost is experiencing a growth in terms of revenue, stimulated, of course, by the acquisition of Hotel Scan. On the other side, Hotel Scan is in its launch phase, in its investment phase, and so in the first 6 months, Hotel Scan was negative in terms of EBITDA. You have also to consider that jet cost, the main country in which jet cost generates revenue is France. On August 2017, in France was introduced a new norm that governed this kind of business that imposed the meta search to show prices in a different way than before, all meta searches acting in France. This triggered a strong reduction of the average ROI on marketing investments. I do not want to enter into much detail, but the comparison between first half 2017 and first half 2019 is impacted by this. In the first half 2017, this rule was not there, while in first half of 2018, yes. This impacted the capability of the meta search machine to generate the same amount of revenue with the same amount of marketing investment, and that's triggered a slight decrease in the ROI. But if I look at the second semester, the comparison will be more or less like for like, and so I do not expect to have this kind of impact in the comparison between the two semesters. Please, Sergio, on the combo question, I would say.
Yeah, I would say that in terms of synergies, the synergy on the cost base are already there, because we, as I was commenting before, we made the closing, contractual closing in December. In January, we identified on the bag, in the bag organization, the redundancies that needed to be dismissed in order to avoid the duplication with our structure, and we were very fast in the redundancies plan, so that from March onwards, we have a reduced organizational structure there. So in terms of synergy generation on the cost base, I would say it's almost there. The synergies regarding the offer, there was another question there before regarding the same thing, is still ongoing, which means that we started since last month to sell to the VetBA customers our core businesses, so our core flights, and especially dynamic packages. So we expect the commercial synergies regarding revenues to be exploited starting from the second half of this year. Regarding the figures of the impact of BEG-DE on the first semester, as we were saying before, BEG is contributing for approximately 10 million euro revenues. Bear in mind that the seasonality on the BEG-DE business is different, so the biggest chunk of revenues of seasonality in Germany is generated in the first quarter, so in the first 4 months, and that is driven by the German attitude. So following revenue recognition principle based on the booking date, the first quarter, first 4 months, I would say, are the most important ones in terms of seasonality in Germany. And in terms of EBITDA generation, as Nicolò was saying before, is already there. So in first half, WEG has already generated a positive EBITDA, both driven from the positive trend of WEG BA revenues and from the synergies that we have implemented.
There
are no more questions at this time. Would you like to conclude the call?
Yes, if there are no more questions, I would say that we already touched all the main points that characterize this first semester. And so thank you, everyone, for joining the call and for the question raised. We all very interesting. And so, yes, I can say thank you all. And Sergio.
Yes.
Thank you, Sergio.
Yeah. Thank you for the interesting questions and for the attendance. And talk to you soon.
Yeah. Yeah. Hopefully. Yes.
Ladies and gentlemen, the conference is now over. Thank you for choosing Chorus Call and thank you for participating in the conference. You may now disconnect your lines. Goodbye.